Well, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. And today I'm going to share on how wonderful and a faithful God that we have. And one of the manifestations, God said that he's faithful and that he wants to keep doing things for, in his word for us. So the important thing is to know what's in his word, right? To go to his word. You know, we talked about prayer before, that praying just is a great thing to do every single day. And going to his word is a great thing to do too, because we want to know what God has for us and what he's going to be faithful for us, to, for us, you know, the things he wants to see us have, that he has for us. So anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9, there are very many wonderful things in these verses. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Who knows what sanctified means?
Set apart.
Set apart, right? It means to be set apart. God set us apart. It means also to be holy, to have, you know, we can have great respect. So we're set apart by God. That in itself is amazing. God set us apart to be his kids. So them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So we're set apart, and then we can also call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Like when we, you know, everybody who prayed in the name of Jesus Christ for these, those prayers to come to pass. And that's what God's in the business of doing. And then it says, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So we have grace and we have peace. In a world full of tribulation, we can still have peace because we go to God, right? verse 5 says that in everything ye are enriched by him. And that's a wonderful thing. We are enriched by God. We're not enriched by the things of the world. Who would want to be anyway? Things of the world are going to fall short. But we're enriched by God in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So, and this verse is so wonderful here, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word behind is to fall short. And I want to read you from the working translation that Walter Cummins did on that verse. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so you do not lack in even one aspect of the gift while you are waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So while we're here on earth waiting for him to come back, we don't lack anything. We have it all. And it's because God is faithful. verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that word blameless, that we're not accused. You know, the adversary can accuse us, but God doesn't accuse us. So we're not accused. We're God's kids. And then this verse, wonderful verse here, it says, God is what?
Amen.
God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So God is faithful, and that word faithful means to be trustworthy, sure, and true. That means we can believe him every single time. And when we do that, he'll be faithful to perform his word for us. If you go to Matthew 24, there's a great example of someone that is faithful, faithfulness. Matthew 24, 29. Oh, wait, no. 45, sorry. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them in meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And that word faithful means that does. Basically, it means that he does. So he's faith. This is a great example of someone who does. And then in verse, that word doing means to make or do, executing something. And I translated it as, he's always on the job. So someone that is faithful, like that, you know, an example of this faithful servant is always on the job. And that's how our God is to us. He's always on the job, ready to perform what he says in his word. Then there's this great record in 1 Kings, which we all know, but we're going to read through it anyway. 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings 18, and we're going to read 22 through 30. This is Elijah, the prophet, and it says here, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets, the not good prophets, are 450 men. So he's saying, here I am, one guy, one prophet of the Lord, and then your evil prophet, your evil guy, has 450 men. Then verse 23 says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock. So he wants the 450 guys to take one, and he's going to take one, and they're going to cut it up, put it on wood, and then watch. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Let's do this. Let's try this. Verse 25, Elijah said unto the prophet Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, address it, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no what? No voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Where is your God? Where is this God that you trusted, that you say is wonderful? Where is this God? Why isn't this fire happening? Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives, lancets, till the blood gushed upon them. That's not good. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So they prayed to their gods, and what happened?
Nothing
happened. This bull was still laying on a piece of wood. So, verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, because they jumped on it. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So now he's getting showy here. We're not just going to take wood. I want you to pour all this water on there and let's see what my God can do. Then verse 34, and he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. So do you think wood will go on fire when it's doused with water three times? I don't think so. And the water ran round about the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I'm doing your word, God, and I'm going to ask you for something wonderful here. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then, here it is, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's a great God. That's a God that's a faithful God. When Elijah called upon him, he did what he was, he was apt to do. And great things happened because of that. And that's the faithful God that we get to trust every single day to do wonderful things for us. If you go to Psalm 86, some more wonderful things that our God does. Psalm 86, and verse 6-8, it says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. Here he is, he's praying. He wants God to hear him. He wants God to pay attention to him while he's praying. Verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. So there's no other God that does things for his people like our God. And that's what God wants. He wants to keep doing for us. Give ear. When it says to give ear, you get this great mind picture of, you know, Wesley used to do this all the time when he was trying to listen. Well, God does that. It gives us that mind picture of when we're talking, when we're praying to him, he's given ear to us because he wants to hear every single word we say. It's a great God. And then in Psalm 91, a couple of chapters over, Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16, it says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. So when we give our love to God, he wants to just keep blessing us and taking care of us. That word satisfy means what? To satisfy. It means to have plenty. And God always wants us to have plenty. In Psalm 34, you can go there. Psalm 34, verse 15. We'll start in verse 15 through 18. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So we're righteous, and that means that God's ears are open unto us whenever we talk to him. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I would not want God's face to be against me. But to them who do evil, his face is against them, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. not just some of their troubles, every single one of their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Oh, did I read 18?
No.
I didn't read the whole thing. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broke. This is the great. This is a great verse. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That contrite spirit means a crushed spirit. Literally, it means pounded to powder. And that's what God doesn't want. He wants us, he mends that broken heart, that broken spirit. No matter how crushed, even if it's powder, no matter how low you are in the depths of your life, you know, our lives, God can take care of. He can build it back up and take care of us. So that's great. I mean, and the thing is, with God, we don't have to wait till our spirit is crushed to go to Him. We can go to Him at any time, and He'll fix it. In Psalm 145, we are going to read 14 through 18. It says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." So right, those two verses, we know that God will take care of us. He will uphold us. "Thou openest thy hand, and satisfieth the desires of every living thing." That's us. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon his truth." So God, he's near. He's right near. Well, he's in us. You know, for real, he's in us. He's always with us. He's always taking care of us. And like I said before, we never have to wait till our spirit is crushed to go to him. And we should. We should go to him with everything that's on our hearts that's ailing us, or even tell him the good things that are happening to us. We should always be talking to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Well, we'll start in verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." So there was a time when we were without God, we were without Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." So we were like that, but now we're not like that. Now we have God, and we have his Son, Jesus Christ, with us. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So, things that Christ accomplished for us makes us closer to God. And we can't be any closer than him being in us. So that's a wonderful thing. In verse 22, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So there it is. We have God in Christ in us every second of every day. It never leaves. And that's a good thing. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So there's another wonderful thing. The Lord is our what? Our helper. He's there for us every single time we need him. And we don't have to be afraid. Well, we don't have to be afraid what any man can throw at us. Anything in the world that they throw at us, we don't have to be afraid. We have God and Christ in us. And go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. This is a really great example of how God is towards us. You guys all know this one, but it says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. And I know it's hard to believe, but yeah, a woman could forget her sucking child. Yet, this is God, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So God has each of our names on the palm of our hand, his hand, figure speech, but a wonderful one. And he's looking at our name all the time. He's looking at us saying, wow, people are wonderful. My kids. Wonderful, wonderful kids. So he will never, ever forget us. He'll always keep us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, wait. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you. God wants us exalted. He wants us just, everything he wants is the best for us. And then it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So that's a faithful God that's going to care for us every single second of every day. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So that's why we keep God close to us. That's why we keep him always in our mind, so we don't have to be subject to the evilness or devilishness of the world. He's always with us. And Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Chapter 31, and we're just going to read verse 8. How's that sound?
Verse 8?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
This is one of my favorite verses because it covers everything. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, it says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. So you got God before you. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He's always going to be there with us. We don't ever have to be dismayed or fearful of anything that's in this world, because we got a great God that loves us. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, that's an easy one to get to. Right? It says, and it's another one that's wonderful because it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your own might. No. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We've got to keep remembering that. It's in his might that we have all this strength. And then if you turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Second Samuel comes before the king, right? Chapter 22 and verse 33. We're going to read 33 and 34. So here we go. It says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. And we all know the whole thing with the hind has very short feet. They can climb these cliffs and not fall. So God not only gives us power, but he gives us a steadiness, a sure-footedness, and that's his word. And that's why we got to keep going to his word all the time. In Psalm 121, it says here, we're going to read all these eight verses. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from who? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's pretty powerful. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's always on the job. God is never sleeping. He's always looking to take care of us. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my helper. There it is again. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So he's got us covered going in, he's got us covered going out, he got our backs covered, our front covered, and he's always with us. He's always taking care of us. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, First Thessalonians 5:24. We'll sort of close. I have to do something else. 5:24. It says here, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So God called us, and he wants us to know that he's a faithful God who will always perform for us his word. And I wanted to read this. I don't know if it's a poem or just a quote, but it says, as for his failing you, never dream of it. It's talking about God. As for his failing you, never dream of it. Hate the thought of it. The God who has been sufficient until now should be trusted till the end. And that's our God. And that's from Charles Spurgeon. He was a minister, clergyman from a long time ago. So, anyway, God is faithful.